Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Paul, thank you very much for that. Now, it's part of the fabric of Irish sporting culture, and now Gaelic football and ladies' Gaelic football have received state recognition as cultural practices that are part of Ireland's living cultural heritage. Following a recommendation from an expert advisory committee, the GAA Sport joined 38 other cultural practices on Ireland's National Inventory of Intangible Cultural Heritage. Three additional cultural practices also received state recognition: Irish set dancing, St. Bridget's cross weaving, and the Irish amateur dramatic tradition. So, how significant is this addition of Gaelic football to the list? Well, we're joined now by GAA correspondent of the Irish Times, Sean Moran. And Sean, you're welcome. How significant is it, Sean? And why, I suppose, more to the point, why hasn't it happened before now, do you think?
Well, it's actually more significant than it seems. I mean, on one level, you think that this recognition of the games as a cultural matter is just in keeping with the GAA's self-image as partly a cultural organisation as well as a sporting one. But GAA also has a big presence overseas. I mean, at this stage, there's about 500 clubs out of Ireland. And the feeling is that when you're actually trying to organise and administer in other countries, it's useful to have, if you like, international recognition. And international recognition with UNESCO is obviously a very high level of recognition. Mm. And there was even talk earlier in the year that maybe the World GAA, the body that handles it internationally, might look for Olympic recognition as an exhibition sport. And this all feeds into, when you're in another country, you can go along and look for, say, use of venues or whatever grants are available in that. And this is a useful way of basically authenticating the sport, because people will know it's very big in Ireland.
Practical implications there. Okay. I know that hurling was recognised several years ago, and I wonder, why do you think Gaelic football has taken a while to get there as well? I mean, because I have to mention, given that we're having this conversation, I was at Croke Park yesterday, and there is no more cultural an event, really. I mean, it's as Irish as it gets.
Yeah, well, I think that probably the feeling about hurling was that it's probably more ancient and distinctive than football. In that sense, they went to the government, and the government recommended them, and UNESCO actually recommended them in 2018. So they're actually on the UNESCO list. Football is trying to get onto that list, and as a first step, it goes to the government. But yeah, it's kind of peculiar, all right. Maybe it just feeds into that sort of hurling elitism within the organisation that it's a special game, which of course it is. But that's the reason why, and that's why they're trying to add the other games now.
Can I pick you up, Sean, on something you said there in a non-adversarial way, right? But you mentioned Gaelic football being authenticated as a sport. And in a way, it kind of touches on the tension in Gaelic football at the moment, where on the one hand, there's a cohort of people, the vast majority, I would say, surely, which sees the genius of Gaelic football and the GAA generally as being community-based, as being volunteer-focused, as being amateur, versus another cohort that sees the expansion of the sport, that sees the internationalisation of the sport, and the commercialization of the sport. Is there a tension there?
No, not really, Cormac. I think the internationalization and the commercialization are two different things. The internationalization is really a recognition that for a lot of Irish people, when they go abroad, the GAA or the Gaelic Games is a kind of a connection with home. So in a way, it's the most sort of recreational type of Gaelic Games you can find. And I've been to a couple of these places on various trips, and it's amazing to see people who probably wouldn't have been involved with their clubs at home suddenly gravitate towards it when they're abroad and living in another country. So that's really at the heart of World GAA. It is a very kind of social, recreational function. The commercialization obviously relates to the success of the games at home and their value as, okay, as spectacles, but the two wouldn't be related in my view anyway.
Now that I've got the intellectual question out of the way, can I ask you my Lobo Urbro pub question? What's your favourite moment in Gaelic football history? You need a pint, Sean. Yeah. You'd answer this one.
Yeah.
Go on, sorry.
Yeah. I'd never really thought of that.
Would it be Seamus Darby's goal? I'll give you two of them. Would it be Seamus Darby's goal to stop a five in a row for Offaly, or would it be Mikey Sheehy's chip on Paddy Cullen? Which one of those?
Well, yeah, they're both. Yeah, but I remember both of those. They're standout. They're standout moments. All right, you know, like matters of huge significance. I suppose if I'm looking at it on a personal level, I remember the kids went to their first All Ireland final in 2011, and when Stephen Cluxton kicks that free at the very end of the Kerry match, it made for a very happy household later on evening. So
well, that's a good answer.
So maybe I'd identify that.
You've touched on something. It's family based. What brings memories? Sarah, what's your favourite game?
Thanks,
footballer?
I knew it was coming.
Croke Park yesterday.
Yesterday. I mean, honestly, I have a short term memory, so I'm going to go with Croke Park yesterday as my favourite moment. I wonder, Sean, just before we let you go, do you think that, even though we're going to have a very exciting final, I think, this time around, that the dominance of Dublin over the last couple of years, do you think that's been good or bad for Gaelic football?
Well, I think the way the GAA operates, it's, that there's no way of kind of controlling these things, or if you like, levelling the pitch. So I think on the one level, it's always interesting to have a team that creates history as Dublin did. But there's no doubt that for the other 31 counties, it's not as interesting when a team is so dominant that they're more or less expected. Mm. Their odds at the start of the year are so low. So I think I think for people in general, they'd be glad that this year's football championship. I mean, when you think back to the start of it, we were all saying, "Oh, Dublin, Kerry, and Derry," and none of them are even in the final.
We were
only
Sean.
Kerry were in the semi-final.
We weren't, boy. We were saying Galway all the way.
we were. Yeah.
So yes, I remember that. Yeah.
Look, Sean, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us. That is Sean Moran, who is GAA correspondent of the Irish Times. Do text us 51551. What is your favourite Gaelic football moment?